This is Your Family Matters with Carla Tedeschi here at 1180 AM WFYL, working for your liberty. Happy Adoption Month. November is National Adoption Month. So I'd like you to focus on what that means to our nation. Also, what it means to you. Maybe it means that you pray that children have forever homes, that you are praying about fostering. Maybe you've always felt called to be a foster parent. But we're just going to kind of take this next hour to look at the opportunities and celebrate adoption and celebrate life here at Your Family Matters. And I'd like to share with you a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, When Love Takes You In. And you may or may not know that he adopted a precious little girl from China. And this is a song that he wrote for her. And he is a huge adoption advocate. We are going to listen to his song and just focus. I'm going to then share a few things about adoption with you. And later on in the show, we are going to give you two different perspectives about adoption. We're going to be talking with George Dennehy, who is the adoptee. He is originally from Romania, and he was adopted here by a family from the States, but he had a congenital defect where he was born without arms, and he has been given a remarkable life at his young age of 20 years old. Really remarkable. I can't wait to for him to share that story with us. And then we have local author Jocelyn Hoffman, who will be here with us, and I happen to co-author a book with her, Adoption is a Great Option, China, and she's going to be sharing what is happening in China. So here is Stephen Curtis Chapman.
And I want to thank all of you. Thank you, Bruce Willis and Muhammad and Lonnie Ali, and very distinguished guests, and most of all, the angels among us. Thank you so much for being a part of this night. I wouldn't be much of a dad if I talked about my kids and didn't show pictures, and I have the luxury of getting to do that in this music video. As I sing this song, it was written for our daughter, Shohanna, 4 years old now, and kind of close the night out with this thought of what an amazing thing it is that happens when love takes us in, as we have celebrated here tonight. It's a wonderful miracle. It's a great privilege to be a part of it. Thank you.
Sound too good to be true. Heard about a place called home, but there doesn't seem to be one for you. So one more night you cry yourself to sleep and drift off to a distant dream where love takes you in. And everything changes. A miracle starts with the beat of a heart when love takes you home. You belong here. The loneliness ends and a new life begins when love takes you in. Somewhere while you're sleeping, someone else is dreaming too, counting down the days until they hold you close and say, I love you. like the rain that falls into the sea. In a moment, what has been is lost, and what will be when love takes you in. Everything changes. A miracle starts with the beat of a heart, and this love will never let you go. There is nothing that will ever cause this love to lose its hold. Takes you in. Everything changes. A miracle starts with the beat of a heart. When love takes you home and says you belong here. The loneliness ends and a new life begins when love takes you in. It takes you in for good when love takes you in. Takes you in for good when love takes you in. Takes you in for good. So
we're back. I hope that you appreciated Stephen Curtis Chapman's beautiful song. And I want to talk a little bit. During November, we have Adoption Month. So let's share some opportunities that are out there. What's happening with adoption? We have infant adoption. Everybody loves that cuddly, precious, cute little infant. And today, it used to be once upon a time that we always had closed adoptions, which meant that that child and that adopted family, adopted mom and dad, did not have connections to the birth mom and the birth family. But now we have something called open adoption, and I'm not advocating for one or the other, but it's whatever you feel called. But that's another option, and options are always really good. So if you wanted to do any kind of adoption, there's something called open adoption where your child could keep in touch with that birth family and that birth mom if you also choose, and if you thought that was in the best interest of all parties. We also have something called sibling adoption. Sibling adoption is when we have two or three or four children that need to be adopted, and we don't want to separate them. They've already been separated from their parents and from their family. We'd like to keep them together. And so again, this is a high calling, and I have many friends who have done this. I used to sit on the board of Bethany Christian Services, and I still work with them with fundraising. I volunteer with them. And these are many kinds of adoptions that I have learned at a personal level. We also, of course, have international versus domestic adoption, and we're going to have someone joining us later on the show who's going to share a little bit about international adoption and those statistics. We also need families, moms and dads or moms, who want to feel called to adopt special needs children, and I like to call them unique children. YOUNIQUE, because we're all so unique. And we need families who are going to rise up and say, we would like to adopt a child who's made perfectly, but might need a little extra care. And again, there's adoption agencies all across the nation in Pennsylvania who can help you with your calling. Foster care. This is not permanent adoption, although it can turn into permanent adoption. But in the United States, there's over 250,000 in foster care each year. And half of these do go home with their parents, which can be a wonderful situation. But there's still half who are looking to be adopted, or at least to be in a safe home. All the statistics show us that foster care is a safer place for our children than group homes and orphanages. And then older child adoption, which I think is really important, means that these kids are 16, 17, and they're waiting for a family. Again, we talked about everybody wants that younger child, but the older child, they're going to be aging out soon. That's a term that we use in foster care. And what that means is that when you turn 18 years old, the government does not provide you with housing and home anymore. These children are all by themselves. At least 20,000 kids are aging out of our system every year. And what that means is the statistics are very grave for these kids who are aging out. We have statistics that say that nearly 40% of the children who age out are homeless or they couch surf, which means they're just wherever they can get a bed or a mattress. 40%. Nearly 60% of the young men who age out have been convicted of a crime. 48%, very low, get employed. 75% of women and 33% of the men receive government benefits to meet their basic needs. So this is really an epidemic. We'd like to find foster families or forever families for these kids before they age out of the system. So these are all ways that you can get connected. And of course, we covet your prayers. And we would love for you to get connected with an adoption agency. There's Catholic Charities. There's Christian services. There's Jewish services. You know, we do not discriminate when it comes to protecting and saving children. So think about Adoption Month and how you can get involved this month. Maybe it's that you invite an advocate out to your church or your school to talk about adoption and just raise awareness in your community. We're going to be spending some time with George Dennehy, who was adopted from Romania. He's going to share his story with us. November, as I've stated multiple times, is National Adoption Month, and we are celebrating life and adoption this month. And we feel very honored and privileged to have George Dennehy here with us. Am I saying pronouncing your name correctly? Let's start there.
Yes, you are. Yeah,
Okay, thank you. Thank you, George. Again, thank you for being with us. I'm going to introduce a little bit about you. You were born in an orphanage in Romania. And your story is a little unconventional. You were born without arms. You can share a little bit of exactly the deficiency that you had, bilateral upper limb deficiency, I believe. It's a very rare condition. And thankfully, we had families here in the States that, thankfully for them, actually, because your life has been such a gift to them, I know. And also, of course, your family, you know, you've been a gift to them as well. So with that, the Lord has given you this musicality, this ability to play the piano and do so many fabulous things that really makes me feel like a slacker, George, you know, that I can't play the piano as well as you can with your feet. So I'm going to let you take it from here and catch us up with, you know, what was it like growing up for you in your home?
Yeah, well, yeah, just like you said, I was born in Romania, and I was born without arms, and the reason I was in an orphanage in the first place was because my family, my biological family, they just couldn't take care of me. They were so poor, and they didn't have much at all, and they realized that there had to be more for me out there somewhere, so they decided to put me in an orphanage, just kind of leaning on that hope that there's something else, something better for me, which there was, because I'm here now. So when I was 1.5, I was adopted into a family and here in America. And, yeah, growing up without arms in my family, it was two different likes for me. It was growing up in my family and then growing up out in the world, kind of like in school and just everyday life. But in my family, it was always a mindset of George, you can do it. Like, if you put your mind to it, you can get it done. So don't complain, basically. And also a mindset of independency, if that's a word. Is that a word?
Yes. It sounds good to me.
All right, good.
Sounds like an SAT word. I think you sound brilliant.
Oh, good. That's what I'm aiming for, actually. But yeah, my parents always wanted me to be independent, and they knew that if they kind of helped me out with every single thing, then I would become dependent on them. I would need them for everything. So they kind of just let me to it. Not in a mean way, but in just a parenting way, I guess, kind of let me learn life on my own. Again, not like on my own in a bad way, but in a way that I can do it, being in their arms, because they knew that the only person who could really teach me how to live is myself, which that's exactly what I did. I grew up and I started to learn how to use my feet for different things and learned how to feed myself and change and kind of just write and do my homework and all that stuff. And I did most of it independently, and I did have help here and there with different things and different ideas of how to do certain things. And growing up in my family from a really young age was really great because there was that part of it. It was that being independent. There was also the part where my parents never stopped telling me that I could do anything and that God loves me and has big plans for me.
Excellent. And that's the best message that every one of our children can hear. So bring us fast forward to 2012, where a friend posts a video of you online playing your guitar.
Yes.
With your feet. And this, so catch us up. Tell us what happened then.
Yeah, well, I'll go back for a second and just let everyone know that when I was 8 years old, my mom, she noticed that I kind of had like a little thing, like a little love for music at a really, really young age. She could just tell. So when I was 8 years old, she told me that I was going to start taking cello lessons to play the cello. And as an 8-year-old boy, that was the last thing I ever wanted to hear. I'd like to tell everyone that was a big, like, prodigy moment where I fell in love with music, but actually I hated it. I hated playing the cello and practicing, and it's important because there were so many times that I wanted to quit because I didn't like it, or it was too hard, or there are different notes, because playing the cello is hard. It's a sophisticated instrument. But as many times as I wanted to quit, my mom and my parents didn't let me. They basically forced me to keep going with it, which honestly, now I'm glad they did, because after playing the cello for so many years and becoming quite advanced in that, I was able to pick up a guitar I can't pick up a piano, but I was able to sit at a piano and just teach myself those instruments based on the knowledge I had from playing the cello. So fast forwarding to 2012, where I'm a 17-year-old guy, and I'm focusing much more on guitar than any other thing, because guitar is a cool instrument. I was playing this event in my hometown, Ashland, and it's called the Ashland Strawberry Fair. It's one of, towns have these fairs with different fruits or foods or something. I never really understand them, but
right,
they're
like
fun.
The garlic festival, right, where they're a lot of fun. We're Italian, so we don't miss the garlic festival, George.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I love Italian food. Being Romanian, I think.
Very similar.
So it was a strawberry fair, and I had won. This was right after high school, right after I graduated. And I had won a scholarship for kind of like music appreciation. And so I played at the Strawberry Fair for my scholarship award, and I played Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls. And this guy had just taped it on his phone, taped my performance, and then sent it to me. And I was like, okay, this is actually one of the first videos I have of me playing my guitar and singing. And it really wasn't that great of a performance, I don't think. If you watch the video, I mean, it's on YouTube, so you can watch it and judge by yourself. But I'm my best critic. Sorry. Anyway, so I put it online, and it was crazy what happened after being online for only a couple of days. The views shot up tremendously. I initially put it. I'm sorry.
Didn't you have like over 700,000 views?
Yeah, it was like after 3 days, it went from zero views to like over almost 700,000.
So you're really an encouragement. People are really inspired by seeing you play instruments with your feet better than we can with our hands.
Yeah, I mean it was just crazy. And it was really humbling and cool to see how many people just loved it. And I would see, like, honestly, I would just go on AOL.com or something, and then there I am on the front page of AOL.com.
That's awesome.
Or like the Huffington Post. And
so did you thank your mother for making you take cello when you were 8?
I did. I think I've only done that once, because once is enough for me.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, it was crazy just to see how many people just appreciated that video. And just like seeing it and seeing what happened to it. It was crazy. And then what happened next was even more insane. I got a message on my Facebook fan page that I had made, because I was like, well, all these people are seeing my video. I should just make a fan page so people can see what I'm up to without, you know, stalking me on my personal page.
Right.
And I got a message on the fan page from the drummer of the Goo Goo Dolls.
It's crazy.
And, yeah, he just messaged me, and he was like, hey, this is Mike, and I'm the drummer for the Goo Goo Dolls. We'd love to have you come play with us at Music Fest in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And I was like, whoa. I had to check first to see if it was, like, real.
Right. You know? It wasn't like your sister or something, like, texting.
Yeah.
Right. Facebooking you.
I was so like, is this real right now? Like, is this real life? And, you know, it was, and it was. It was Mike from the Goo Goo Dolls. And so, like, a couple weeks later, it was in August, I think the first week in August or so, and I went to a Music Fest, and I opened up for the Goo Goo Dolls in front of, like, 5,000 people. And then I played their encore song, Iris, with them on stage at, like, 9 at night or 10 at night in front of, like, 10,000 or so people. It was crazy.
Were you nervous? Or did you just have a piece? You were like, this is awesome. I'm going to get up there and play.
Yeah, I just had a piece at that point when I was playing with them. But I will say I was extremely nervous just playing by myself on the huge stage.
Mm-hmm.
Just me and my guitar and me singing. I was pretty nervous doing that.
I have a feeling that there's going to be more opportunities out there for you like that one.
Yeah, since that event, opportunities have just come up left and right. It's honestly just been super humbling, because this is kind of what I've always wanted to do, is to be able to share my story and just share my music with as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had huge opportunities and like to share my story at the Christian Alliance for Orphans conference, and to share the stage with a lot of other cool and amazing people like Stephen Curtis Chapman and Jeremy Camp,
mm-hmm.
and Jamie Grace, and just a lot of wonderful people who are aiming to do the same thing that I'm doing, is just to impact lives.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your, is it true that you're going to be trying out for America's Got Talent?
Yeah, it is. This is a pretty cool story. Ever since I started playing guitar back in like the first year in high school, all my friends always told me that I should do it. And that they're like, we think you should do it. We think it'd be awesome. But I always was just like, nah, I mean, that's not really for me. I'm not really for competitions or kind of competing to be recognized or things like that. I was never really into that. And after high school, people still kind of told me that I should do that. And I had a couple opportunities, actually, like a few years ago to do it. And I denied just because I wasn't really into it. But just recently, my dad ran into a recruiter who's got called by one of the producers to look out in Richmond for talent to have on the show. And my dad just randomly ran into this guy. Mm-hmm. They started talking about different stuff, and my dad kind of mentioned what I do, and this guy thought it'd be perfect. So I finally gave in, and I just thought, I think all the dots are lining up, so I figured I'd give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I think about it, and when I decided to do it, I didn't look at it so much as like I'm competing for fame or anything, because I don't care about that at all. I don't want that really. I look at it and I'm saying, man, if something does happen with it, or if I even get remotely far into it, just knowing that people out there might be watching,
mm-hmm.
need to see what I can do, or hear what I have to say, just an opportunity for me to impact more people.
Absolutely.
On a scale. And so that's why I'm really excited for it. That'll be next Thursday, the first.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're actually going for the interview in the next coming week. And then I guess we'll identify, when will they play this? In the spring, will we find out if you're on, or?
I don't know how it works.
Yeah,
me neither. I'm still trying to figure it out myself.
Yeah, you're trying to keep up.
Because next week is the first audition just in front of the producers.
Okay.
And that's just, basically it's like the audition before the main audition in front of the judges, where you see a lot of good talent, and then you see a lot of kind of like goofy people too.
Sure. Well, obviously they're calling you, so that's a really good sign that they do think that you have talent. And again,
yeah.
I just think, as you said, you're going to be in front of, even if they don't choose you, you get to share your story with these producers even, or the people with whom you're waiting in line, who are also, and that's so awesome that you are an advocate for adoption, to say, you know, adoption is a fabulous, wonderful thing, and for all parties who are involved. And I love your perspective. I think I can quote you. You said, it could have been any other child in that orphanage, but I'm the one who was given this opportunity. And I just want to applaud you for using, you know, the life that God's given to you, because he makes every one of us, whether we have 10 fingers and 10 toes, or only, you know, 9 fingers or 6 fingers. He makes every one of us very purposefully, very wonderfully, and very fearfully.
Yeah, exactly. Every one of us is made unique, and that's exactly how I feel about my whole life, is, mm-hmm. I was that one chosen to be adopted, which honestly I feel so lucky, mm-hmm. and a couple times in my life undeserving,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, well, I was the one chosen, but there are also hundreds of others in that orphanage, and then millions around the world.
Yes.
So the urgency and I guess the passion that's kind of grown in my heart to be an advocate, just like, you know, look what's happened in my life. Look what God's done in my life through this.
George, and I know that, congratulations, you also got married and you're a new daddy.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am, yeah.
So exciting.
Our baby is 4 months now.
Congratulations. Enjoy every minute, because my girls are 13, 11, and 9 now. It goes by so quickly, George.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's already flown by, and he's growing so fast.
So is there anything else that you would like to leave us with? I know that we can go on YouTube, look up George Dehaney on YouTube, Facebook, follow his mission and his purpose. It will really be a blessing to you.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, and I guess the last thing I would like to say is that, you know, that mission and that purpose, it's not just mine. It's all of ours. And I think we all need to, when we all come together with that,
mm-hmm. take ownership.
Yeah. Then we can really make a huge difference, because as Christians, as believers, we're called to care for the orphan and for the widow and those who can't care for themselves. So
absolutely.
If we all did that as one body, then we'd see how much of a difference we're making.
Our voice, one voice, when we couple together with 100,000 voices, it's just so much louder. And you're right, we can make more of an impact with these kids.
Absolutely.
Who are waiting to be adopted.
Exactly.
It, besides being the month of adoption, it's also Thanksgiving. So can I ask you before you leave us, for what are you thankful for this month? This month of Thanksgiving, what would you like to say?
I would say, and I really say this almost every year, but this year I feel it so much more. I'm thankful just for family. I'm thankful for my family growing up and them teaching me about God and teaching me about life and the truth and things like that. And then I'm also thankful now for my own family and being able to do that for them and for Landon, So I'm just thankful for family and fellow believers.
Which are also our family. Well, I think that you should probably strap on your seatbelt, because I have a feeling that this next year for you is going to be more of a wild ride than even this last year has been. That's what I pray for you, George.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing what's on your heart with us this morning.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This is I'm glad that I got to do this. Thank you.
This is Carla Dedessi with Your Family Matters, and we are celebrating Adoption Month. This month of November, it is National Adoption Month, and we have Jocelyn Hoffman here with us. She is an advocate and a champion for orphans. She co-chairs Bethany Christian Services' largest Pennsylvania fundraiser, and we have actually co-authored a book together called Adoption, A Great Option, China. We are hoping that this becomes a series. But this book has really made a connection with a lot of people. Thank you for being with us here this morning, Joss.
Thanks so much, Carla.
I know that you're such a busy mommy and PTA president, and I just really value that you're making time for us this morning and just celebrating life with us today. So what made you decide to choose China? There's so many countries. What was it that made us choose this first and foremost? What's happening in that country?
Well, you know what? When we started this book and started doing some research, I found that there really are two sides to adoption. There are people who are advocates for adopting domestically, and there are people who are advocates for adopting internationally. So when I started looking into both sides, I realized that there is a greater need for international adoption at the moment. And so as I started looking into that and talking to people who adopted, China kept coming back to me. And it just so happened that year that we started writing this book, China was in the news a lot. There was one story that jumps out at me about a woman who actually flushed her baby down the toilet in a public bathroom in China, which their public bathrooms can't even compare to our public bathrooms. This child was found in a pipe. He was cut out and eventually saved. So while this was a story in the news, it just kept jumping out at me. There also was TV shows that started about a young family that adopted a little boy from China with special needs. And so the Lord just really placed this country on my heart, and the more that I researched it, the more deplorable I realized the situation, and that's what led us to choose China, although the need is so great, which is why we're hoping that this series turns into other books, the first one being China, and it would be great to do a domestic book as well, because the need in the United States is great, too.
Right.
That's what led us to China.
Right, and we can also go down the path, of course, of sibling groups and special needs and aging out. You're right. I think that there's many books that could be birthed with this. Can you tell us?
It happened to be the one we chose because it was like the hot topic in the news at the time.
Right, and I think doors were even closed a little bit for adopting babies from China, and now they're open again, and now they're actually keeping a lot of their babies in China, the little girls, because they're realizing that without little girls, they can't procreate. So they're really discovering that there's a lot of problems when we are aborting any children, really, specifically little girls. How has the book been received? I know that you're going around to schools and doing book readings and Sunday school classes as well.
Mm-hmm. It's actually being very well received. Every time I go to a youth group or a school, I wind up staying there a lot longer than I had intended because of the follow-up discussions on the book. Children as well as adults are really intrigued by the things they're learning in our Adoption, A Great Option book. Really, really interesting conversations. And the book is so great because you can read it to, you know, a 5-year-old and yet you can read it to a 15-year-old, and it really opens up two different conversations. So I really have been enjoying visiting places and sharing this book with them. And even adults, by the end of the book, you see, you know, the teachers with their tissues, they're drying their tears. So even adults are really enjoying it.
I was going to share the same experience, that when I do this book read, the children are quiet as little mice, and every mother, every parent is, you know, has their tissues out and is crying, because it really is a loving story. They love the way that we showed on one page the seed that's being planted in the American family's heart, and then what is happening that same time in China, what's going on with that precious child. And, you know, I think that I'm going to read just one page from our book to give people an idea of the adorable text and the beautiful illustrations. We had a great illustrator. But this is how the book reads if you do not have our book. And the book is available at masthoff.com. You can order this, or you can call the station, and we would be happy to sign books for you and get them out to you. But I'm going to read from our book, Adoption, A Great Option, by Carla Dedessi and Jocelyn Hoffman. It was February 22nd in the USA. There was a knock at the door of the Desmond home. Mom opened the door and was delighted to see a man holding a large white envelope. "Thank you," Mom said. She called Dad and Nathan into the kitchen, and together they opened the package. It was the LOA. "Let's celebrate," declared Mom. "Hooray," cheered Nathan. "I'll get the ice cream," said Dad. On the very same day in China, Zhang quietly turned one. There were no cakes, no candles, and no birthday gifts. And if I can plant a picture in our listeners' ears that, you know, our illustrator did a beautiful job of creating the scene in the American household. It's very colorful. There's lots of food. And then all of our pictures in China are very gray and very sad. But we do have that pink blanket that the little baby who's waiting for adoption has. And that pink really symbolizes the hope that she's going to be adopted.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is one of the things the younger kids love to talk about, is all the symbolism in this book, because as you just read, one page is what's happening in the United States, and the page right next to it is exactly what's happening on the same day in China. And the United States pages are bright and colorful and lively, and the China pages are gray and dark and dismal, but there's always that little symbol of hope. So the little kids love to find that pink blanket in all of the pictures that are happening in China. They love that little symbol of hope.
And I like also that we are educating the little children, but absolutely the parents as well, on things like the LOA, which I just read, which is the letter of acceptance. And this is the official approval from the Chinese government, the China Center of Adoption Affairs, to adopt that child whom you've been waiting for. And it takes anywhere from 2 to 4 months to receive that LOA. So you can understand why in the story they were really celebrating. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk to you a little bit about talking about how all of us as Christians can be adopted too. Because, yes, we're planting seed for adoptions in this book series, but I love the page that we wrote that talks about just sharing that all of us can be adopted, because as Christians, we are a worldwide international community. Can you share a little bit about that page?
Right. One of the first things I do as a reader going in to share this book, to grab the children's or the teenager's attention, I always say, I'm going to share this book with you about adoption, but before I read it, I want to let you know that I've been adopted too. And I want to share my adoption story with you. So that's how I hook them, and I share the book. And then at the end, of course, we have that page on, did you know that you can be adopted too? And that's where I share my adoption story, which is actually not an earthly I, you know, have always lived with my birth parents. I have wonderful parents, and I'm very blessed. However, I have been adopted into God's great big family by accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior and living a life that glorifies and honors Him. And so we share that at the end of the book, because you can be adopted on earth, but that does not mean anything if you're not adopted into God's great big family. So that's really an important part to this series, is sharing with everybody how they can be adopted too.
How has this book impacted your three little children, and particularly adorable Nathan with his blonde hair and blue eyes? You know, I know that our character in this book was kind of, you know, we thought about him when we were writing this. Has it made an impact on their little lives, even at this very young age?
You know what? It really has. My kids were with me the entire time that we were doing this book. They would, especially Emily and Nathan, because I was homeschooling them at the time. And, you know, they would go with me on interviews. They would go with me to Bethany. So they learned a lot about the adoption process, first of all, but also they developed a compassion and a love for orphans. You know that our auction is coming up tomorrow night. And so my house is filled for the Bethany fundraiser with all kinds of items that people have donated to help raise money for Bethany Christian Services, and ultimately to help these orphans find forever families. So they get to be a part of that too. And they, you know, come to me. Little Emily, who's 3 years old, came to me with one of her baby dolls telling me, "Mom, this is for the auction. You can auction this off to raise money for the children who don't have mommies and daddies." So they are really, have been a part of this book, and have really, all three of them have developed a compassion for orphans. And honestly, that was one of my goals in writing this book, to teach my children to have compassion, to donate to organizations that support orphans, because that's what God tells us to. Jesus loves the little children, and we want to mirror Christ. And so that was definitely part of it. And, yes, my children have learned a lot, and little Nathan especially, you know, has a love and a compassion for orphans now, and I hope continues through their life.
Well, and I think that statistically it does show that, you know, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are older, they will not depart from that. And I think that that's why we're so big on planting these little seeds in our children's and our five-year-olds' hearts, because we're hoping that at 25, they're going to be advocates and a voice for the voiceless. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm seeing the same thing in my three little girls, you know. Some little girls are playing house and cooking pizzas, and my little girls are setting up live and silent auctions and bidding sheets, and they're pretending.
It's true. I just had to give Nathan raffles. He saw I was doing another fundraiser, and he wanted raffle tickets because he wanted to set up a raffle in our basement. So
our children are listening to us, but they're also watching everything that we do. And it really is true that there's no reason why our kids, when they're 13, 14, and 50, can be leaders, and they can be influencing even the kids at their school or in their youth group or wherever they've been placed, because we have to remember all of our founding fathers started early. They were real leaders at 18 and 19 years old. So I want to thank you so much for joining us. And is there anything else that you'd like to leave our listeners with about adoption?
Yeah, specifically as it pertains to China. You know, I'm hoping that this book does inspire people to adopt, and from China. You know, there are 573,000 orphans being reported by the Chinese government, but actually outside sources are telling us the number is really close to 1 million.
Mm.
There is a dire need for orphanages in China, and I'm hoping that this book inspires people to adopt specifically from China. And if not, if you can, word hasn't placed that on your family's heart, you certainly can do other things, whether it be write a book and give the proceeds to adoption agencies. you could pray for these orphans. That's one thing I do every time I do a book read. At the end, we always pray for the orphans in China. Mm-hmm. And you can donate money to charities such as Bethany Christian Services. And you can also volunteer. If you don't have money, maybe you have time. You mm-hmm. can help out and volunteer at Bethany Christian Services, or you can do fundraising for them. So there are lots of ways to get involved, and I just want to encourage people to do that, especially stay-at-home moms. You mm-hmm. are giving children such an opportunity when you're volunteering and working in ministry to have them right alongside you doing this. So that's my prayer that we do for this book.
And I do want to remind our listeners that the proceeds from adoption is a great option. It is going 100% to promote adoption. So this is really a book that is going to give a gift twice. Your money for this book is going to go to an adoption charity, and then also you get to read this book or put it as a stocking stuffer. It fits so cute inside of a stocking. So again, go to Masthoff Press, order your books, order a lot of them. I know that my friends have ordered them and listeners have ordered them for their church libraries, their school libraries. They have given them out to all of their nieces and nephews, and we're just planting seeds so that 10 years from now we are going to have people championing for adoption. Before I let you go, Jocelyn, this is also, besides being the month of adoption here in November, it is also Thanksgiving around the corner. So I'm so thankful for you and your friendship, but I'd like to ask you, for what are you oh so thankful for this month?
Well, I'm Jocelyn Hoffman from Cheltenham, Pennsylvania, and I am thankful for my faith, my family, and my friends. And of course you, Carla.
Thank you. That's sweet of you. So you're thankful for FFF and C, faith,
That's
family,
right.
friends, and Carla.
That's right.
Thank you so much. God bless you. And
you.
We look forward to that second book in the series.
Yeah, we're excited.